Come on, can we just give him some praise real quick? Let's just give God some praise. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Okay, you can be seated. Praise God. You know, I've been doing a three-part series on the power of your tongue. Power of your tongue, power of your decision. And this morning, I want to talk to you about the power of your spoken word in faith, different than the power of your tongue. It's the power of your spoken word in faith. Your spoken word in faith. My scripture reference comes out of Mark chapter 11, verse 22 through 23. Mark chapter 11, verse 22 through 23. And it says, "So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be moved and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Let's pray. Father, I just come to you this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would anoint me to teach and preach this message under the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that you'll give those that have ears, let them hear what you're saying this morning to Bethel Assembly of God. And Father, in this, we give you the praise, we give you the glory, and we give you the honor in Jesus' holy name. Amen. This morning, I'm going to kind of be jumping back and forth between New King James and God's Word Translation. I like God's Word Translation. I like how it uses some wording to make some things a little bit more clear, but I do preach out of the New King James, and I love the way the New King James reads as well. But in Mark chapter 11, I do want to read God's Word Translation, and it says, "Have faith in God. I guarantee this truth." Now remember, this morning, we're talking about the power of your spoken word when it's spoken in faith, all right? God's word says, "I guarantee this truth. This is what will be done for someone who does not doubt, but believes what he says will happen. He says to this mountain, be uprooted and thrown into the sea, and it will be done for him." Jesus is saying, "I guarantee this truth. I make this promise to you. This is what will be done for you if you don't speak with doubt, and you believe what you say is going to happen is going to happen." It's that spoken word of faith. Now, let me just clear the air quickly. I'm not into name it and claim it. You understand? I don't believe in that at all. But I do believe what comes out of our mouth when it's spoken faith, it will take place. And I don't want to get ahead of myself too much, but I do want to bring some clarity to this, because I don't want somebody saying, "Oh, prosperity, prosperity," because that's not how I believe. Everything that we're going to talk about this morning has to do with tying into the will of Father, tying into the will of our Heavenly Father, our God. What is God's will for our life? What is God's plan for our life? And when we pray according to our Father's will, that's when these scriptures are triggered. That's when this word is triggered. That's when this word becomes alive. Believing God is wonderful, but Jesus urges us to do more than just speak a word of faith, but to verbalize what we are asking from God. And when we as believers or as Christians understand the power of the spoken word in faith, as the Bible says, he will have whatever he says. Jesus said again, and I'm going to read the scripture again to you. "Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be moved and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." We see three foundational stones of faith that get this result. The first one is, we have to have faith in God, period. We have to have faith in God. These are our foundational stones that gets results. We have to have faith in God. Faith in His Word, in His promise, in His Son, Jesus. It's not faith in faith or in memorizing formulas that gets result, but it's faith in God. It's not having faith in faith, per se, or memorizing certain formulas or something to that nature, but it's having faith in God, who God is, and what He can do, and His power. Having faith in the promises of God. Number two, believe in your heart without doubting. You see, there was a man in the Bible that said, I have faith, but help me in my unbelief. You know, there's nothing wrong with praying that prayer. Lord, when I lay my hands on somebody to pray for them for healing, or Lord, when I'm praying over a certain circumstance, being led by the Spirit of God, being prompted by Holy Spirit, seeing the need, and you begin to pray, and you say, Father God, I'm praying, help me with my unbelief. There's nothing wrong with that. You follow me? There's nothing wrong with that. Lord, I believe, but help me in my areas of unbelief, because your word says that I am supposed to pray without doubt. In other words, whatever it is you're praying for, whatever it is you're believing in, you're believing it's going to take place. Amen? You're believing that that person is going to get healed. You're believing that that person, or you're believing that God is going to open up a door somewhere where it doesn't seem like there's any door or any possibility whatsoever. You're believing that in Jesus' name, that He's going to help you walk on the water. I said, you're believing He's going to help you walk on the water. Because it's your faith in God. It's not your faith in faith or your faith in formula. It's your faith in God. It's your faith in the Word of God saying, God, you are who you say you are. And I am who you say I am. And you tell me that I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. I'm telling you right now, friend, that passage right there, you could preach that passage for months on end, because everything cycles through. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I stand before you today because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, we had some very dear friends from when I was a little guy came in, and they were here for our installation. They were here last week. And I went to see them, and I walked in their house, and they're just like shaking their head. Because you know what they remember? They remember this quiet little guy. That's what they remember. No. Thanks, John. They remember this quiet little guy. And they're just like, who was that? You know? And I remember when I was in high school and we had to give our first oral report. No. The little 3x5 cards, I'm standing, I'm shaking in front of everything. But I remember when the Lord spoke to me and said, and I'm like, okay, you got a sense of humor, but here we go. I can do all things through Christ. You hear what I'm saying? When somebody asks you to do something that you're like, oh no, this is out of my comfort zone. No, 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 no. That's the wrong attitude. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because when you begin to live and walk that pattern out, you begin to walk in the footsteps of Christ, because He guides the footsteps of the righteous. Amen. Are you following me this morning, church? He begins to guide the footsteps of the righteous, and then all of a sudden you find yourself in an area that you never thought you could be in before. But thank God He's in control of your life, and thank God you've been living according to the Word, because you're witnessing, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. You see, it's not faith in faith. It's not faith in formula. It's faith in God. It's the faith that says, I'm taking a blind step, God. I'm doing what you're telling me to do, God. I'm going where you're telling me to go, God. This is the kind of power that's in our spoken word of faith. This is the kind of strength that Holy Spirit sweeps in and lifts us up in. Number three. Now, this is just my first point. So when I say three, I'm not closing my sermon down here. Number three, remember, the foundation stones of faith that get results. It's have faith in God without doubting and say with your mouth what you believe. Faith comes by what? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. So when you're praying in a certain direction and you feel the Lord leading and prompting you, you know, on Wednesday nights, I want to encourage you to come. We're doing a series out of Joshua. Getting ready to move, getting ready to see, getting ready to experience. Which, if we come this Wednesday, I'll do getting ready to experience on my notes this time. But getting ready to experience. When you think about Joshua, what took place with Joshua when he took leadership? He sent the spies out into the land to spy out the land. And what came back to him? What came back to him was a word of faith. These spies come running back after Rahab put them up in her house and hid them. And here you have the king sending out his men saying, hey, we know that the spies went into your house. And she said, yeah, they came, but they left, and I don't know where they went. She just lied to the king. Because later on, the Bible says that she took and hid them on the roof under some flax of her house. And when the guards left, they went through the gate. She lowered them down through the window saying, go up into the hilltop. She was guarding these spies regardless of what was going to happen with her life. You following me? These spies are hearing with their ears Rahab say, oh my goodness, you're finally here. When Israel comes to overthrow this land, and Israel will come and overthrow this land, when Israel comes to overthrow this land, please protect me and my family. Don't let death come to our, because I took you in and I protected you from the king. And the boys said, tie this scarlet robe around your window. And she went on to tell them and say, listen, the men's heart have been like wax since you crossed the Red Sea. We had heard what your God has done for you. We have heard how your God has provided. We have heard how your God has kept the enemy at bay. And we have heard of the favor of your God on your life. And we are scared because of what we have heard. So my third one here is, your mouth has got to say what you believe. Your mouth has got to speak what you believe. 1 John 5:14-15 says, now this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask according to his will, this is what I said earlier on. If we ask according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we asked of him. Now let me back up here for just a minute. 1 John 5:14-15 says, if we ask according to his will, that's the whole key right there, folks. That's the whole key. What was God's will for the Israelites? To get out of bondage? And to take the promised land. That was his whole will. What's his will for us today? Go make disciples. Go lay your hands on the sick. Go live at peace with one another. Amen? His plan for our life, it's kind of a simple plan. How many want to live in peace with each other? Amen? How many want to, you know, do what the Bible says. Go lay your hands on the sick. Go preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in some form. In other words, through the power of love, through being a good witness. What was the plan for the Israelites? The plan for the Israelites was to get them out of bondage, get them out of the wilderness, and get them into the land flowing with milk and honey. That was God's will. In 1 John, we hear that we have to pray according to God's will. What does that mean? That means that we need to be able to get in God's presence, shut the door, turn off the phone, turn off the computer, turn off the TV, muzzle the dog, lock the kids outside, but not today, it's cold. Find a quiet place, get quiet before the Lord, because God's trying to empower your words. Do you hear me? God's trying to empower your words. God's already empowered them. But his focus and his direction is right here. You might be off over here a little bit. And you might be praying and saying, God, why am I not seeing any movement? Why am I not seeing anything in this? And it's because God's like, because I'm over here. And as long as you're right where God wants you, it still may feel like the desert, church. It still may feel like you're in the wilderness. You might not be seeing any results, but God's like, patience. How many's got patience? Both y'all. No. Lord Jesus. We're going to have an altar call for liars. I got two in mind. How many people pray for patience? Oh, you're Phil. Man, hats off. I don't pray for that one anymore. But you know, patience. Getting in God's presence and just patience. You know, I was talking with Pastor Ted as we... How'd you like the arrangement this morning? The worship time was wonderful, wasn't it? Amen. Amen. You know what I want to do? I want to create an atmosphere where you can do mindless worship. How many know what mindless worship is? Just not, you don't have to read, you don't have to think, you can just worship God. You can just worship God. Prime that pump in Jesus' name. Prime that pump for the Holy Spirit, that through praise and through worship, getting in the presence of God and just being in the presence of God, being saturated in the presence of God, not worrying about anything else. Because you know what? Here's the bottom line, friends. Jesus tells us, don't worry about tomorrow. I've got it. How many, let's be honest now, how many are worried about tomorrow? A couple people? None? Lord, we're going to have a big altar call. Pastor Ted be finding something good for, you know, liars. I'm kidding. The Bible tells us not to worry about tomorrow because he's got it in his hand. He says, only focus on today. What is it today that God is trying to get you to focus on? What is it today that God's trying to get you to quit looking over here and quit looking over here and quit looking and focus on? You know, sometimes we just, you used to be able to say, sometimes we just need to shut off the TV. But now we got to say, sometimes we just need to shut off the thing in our hand and say, okay, God, what is it that you want to say to me this morning? Well, what is the direction? My life is in your hands. So what do you want me to accomplish today? What do you want me to see today? Now I got to cue all this stuff back up. What do you want me to see today? What do you want me to accomplish today? Who might come across my path today that I could be a witness for you for? It's getting that time. It's finding that quiet place. It's hearing the will of God. According to 1 John, he says, if you ask according to his will, not amiss, but according to his will. When you ask according to his will, you know what's happening? Father is up there going, oh, I hear my words coming back to me. Oh, I hear my words coming back to me. Hey, he says, don't worry, Paul. I've got your life in my hands. He says, don't worry, Frank. I know where you are, and you're praying my will. I hear my will coming back. And if you only knew that the answer is already on its way. So pray without ceasing, because you've got to pull. You've got to pull that thing in. And because we're in this get it quick or forget it attitude, get it quick or forget it. Hey, I like that. Get it quick or forget it attitude. If it doesn't come right then, we walk away from it. And you know what we do? We abandon God's will. Is that an amen or is that okay? That's a what? Yeah. And it's one of those things where you've got to pray the will of the Father. You know what? When we stop praying what the Lord has laid on our hearts, whether it be wayward sons or daughters, when we stop praying, you know what we do? We abort what God is trying to do. There's power in our words spoken in faith. There's power in our words spoken when they're spoken in faith. When they're spoken according to the will of our Father. Listen to what the God Word Translation says. Excuse me. We are confident that God is listening to us if we ask for anything that has His approval. When my kids come to me and say, "Dad, can we get a go-kart?" I say to them, "No." "Dad, can we get a mini bike?" I say to them, "No." But when they come and they say, "Dad, can we get this?" And it's something that Mom and I have been thinking about getting them, we say yes. When our kids get an understanding that, no, you're not going to get a pony. No, you're not going to get a horse. You know, no, you're not going to get the Envoy. That's our other truck. No, you're not going to get it. You can drive it, but you're not going to get it. When they start realizing and start asking accordingly, you with me? Come on, parents. Accordingly, hey, listen, that's not in our budget. That's nowhere near our budget. No, we're not going to buy a big ranch so that we can house horses. That's not in our budget. That's not anywhere close to our budget. That's no kids. That's unrealistic. But when they come and they ask accordingly, then it's yes. How many can relate to that? It's accordingly. The Bible says that we are confident that God listens to us when we ask for anything that He's approved. He's like, "Yep, I've already proved it. Here you go. Yep, I've already proved it. Here you go. Yep, I've already proved it. Here you go." But it's being in that place where you can hear what He's approved. It's being in that place. Now, we're talking kind of some possession or some kind of something of that nature. But what has God approved in His Word? You see, His Word is full of things that have already been approved. And when we begin to pray those things that have already been approved, watch out. Watch out. When He says that you can do all things through my Son because He'll strengthen you, He's already approved as long as you go through Jesus. If it can't go through Jesus, it's not approved. Is what you're praying for, can it go through Jesus? If it can go through Jesus, then it's approved. You with me, church? I know I might be pounding the point a little bit, but we've got to understand our prayers as our lives are presented to God in submission and confidence according to His will as He reveals in Scriptures or otherwise by the Holy Spirit. We know God's will in many instances because it is revealed in the Bible. And at other times, it becomes clear only when we earnestly seek His will. There's a bearing of witness that goes on. Once we know His will about a given issue, then we can ask in confidence and in faith. What is God's will? What is God's will for your life? What is God's will for this? What is God's will for that? Just think about that. Let that apply to what you're facing right now. Let that apply to your lot in your life right now. Let me tell you how it applied to Tanya and I. What 2 months ago, what was God's will for us? We knew that we were finished at the church that we were in. We knew that God had released us. Our season was done there. And it wasn't a matter of if, it was just a matter of when. What is God's will for my life? Where are we to go? Where are we to serve? And you know what? I just said, "Lord, my life is in Your hands. My life is in Your hands. Whatever it is that You want for me, You lead me and You guide me." But see, there's a submission that takes place. And we have to submit to the power of God in order to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is trying to say to us. Because if we don't submit to Him, then we're not going to yield to what His will is. And then when we start praying and we start calling these things in, He's over like, well, you ain't listening to me, so I ain't listening to you. Maybe not with so much attitude. But that's about what it boils down. I hear what you're asking, but that's not what my will for your life is. Now, let me just be perfectly clear, too. God has a tendency to let you have what you're asking for. I found out that that's not always the most pleasant thing in the world. Because you're sitting there with a limited view. You're sitting there with a limited view of what things... There's only so much that I can see at the level that I'm at right now. In this sanctuary. There's only so much that you can see where you're sitting right now. When I come up on the platform, and that's why we have platforms, when I come up on the platform, you can see a lot better. But when I get down on the floor, some of you folks towards the sides in the back can't really see that great. And you might be saying, thank God, get on the floor, boy. But the bottom line is it's all based on our perspective and our view. And in our view, we may be saying, man, that's what I really want. Man, God, can you make that happen? Man. And the Lord's like, no, I don't know. No. Okay, if that's what you really want, let me let you have what you really want. And then when you get what you really want, and you're making the payments on it or whatever the case may be, but when you get what you really want, all of a sudden the newness of that thing wears off, and all of a sudden the burden of that thing is all over you like white on rice. And you're like, oh, man, what was I thinking? And the Lord's like, I don't know, I tried to stop you. I tried to warn you. I mean, come on, parents. How many parents have... Now, I know my parents can't say anything about that. Or they won't anyway. But how many times, parents, have we tried to stop our kids from doing something? Well, hey, knock yourself out, son. If that's where you want to spend your money, empty your last dime on it. My son is like, Dad, can I get this? I'm like, well, you got enough money? He goes, well, it's $15. I got 20. I'm like, well, that takes care of the tax. You got it. He's like, how about you pitch in seven? I'll pitch in seven. I'm like, no. He's a negotiator. Very seldom do I say no to him. Anyway. But you know, never, Tanya says. But you know, it's like, okay, you can get that. If that's where you want to spend your money, you can get it. And then they get it, they get home, and it's like you can see the disappointment on them. Well, that's what you really wanted. That's what you really wanted. How many can relate to that in here, in your own personal life? How many would rather have God's will? Because you know when you get God's will, you never get disappointed. You never get frustrated. Well, you might get frustrated along the way, but you're like, God, I'm in your will. I'm doing what you called me to do. I'm right where you want me. And I've been calling. See, the Lord's kind of looking for some people to start calling things down. Can I say it like that? He's looking for some intercessors that know and understand time and the endurance of time and how to wear out a knee and how to wear out some knees on their face before God, saying, God, I know that you gave this promise to me, and I'm not going to let go of this promise until I see this promise come into full tuition of what it's supposed to be. God's looking for some people that know how to pray like that. He's looking for some folks that know how to grab a hold. Listen, you can't just say anything and everything that comes to your mind and expect God to grant it. Our saying must be according to His will, and His will found in His word. We can't just say with faith, Lord, give me this or give me that, and God will do it for us. However, we can say with faith, Lord, I believe that you are Jehovah Rapha, the healer of my sickness. Lord, I believe that you are Jehovah Rapha, the healer of my sickness. Because we find that in the Bible. We find the promises of divine healing by God in His Word. And those are things that we can lay hold of. Those are things where the Bible says, lay your hands on the sick and they shall recover. And let me tell you something about healing, church. Healing's not up to you. It's up to Him. What's up to you is releasing that word out of your mouth, speaking that word of faith out of your mouth. In Jesus' name, rise up and walk. In Jesus' name, be healed. In Jesus' name, we command those mountains to be removed, whatever those mountains may be. And pray that prayer in faith without doubting and believe. It's up to God to do the rest. So many times I pray for something or someone and I walk away and I say, okay, God, I did my part. And I prayed in faith without doubt and I expect to see that person healed, or I expect to see that mountain mowed down, or I expect to see those doors opened up. The rest is in your hands. The rest, God, is in your hands. And I won't stop praying until you release me from this prayer assignment. How many has ever stopped praying? You've gotten a prayer assignment and you kind of didn't pray it through. You don't have to raise your hands on that confession. But I have stopped praying a prayer assignment through. There's power in your spoken word of faith, church. There's power in your tongue. The Bible says there's life and death in your mouth. There's power in your decisions. Every decision you make, man, what you decide today is going to affect tomorrow. Let's put it this way. Where you eat today could affect tomorrow. I mean, you could get a piece of bad chicken or something like that, you know, or go out and have a good, hearty, which I love, Mexican food, you know, and there's consequences to all your decisions. So your decision right now affects tomorrow. Your decision on whether or not you're going to apply and speak the word of faith that God has placed in your heart, whether or not you decide that today, is going to be up to you. Are you going to release that word of faith? Are you going to speak that word of faith? Because you want to know something? Here's the deal. Rahab was releasing words. And she didn't realize the impact that it was having on those spies. She didn't realize the impact that it would have on Joshua. When those words came back to Joshua, I can see Joshua getting excited. I mean, I can see it. He's a man of God. He hears from God. He obeys God. I can see Joshua just thoroughly getting excited. He's like, oh my goodness, this is going to be easier than I thought. Because maybe in Joshua's mind, he's thinking that he's going to have physical combat with these people in Jericho. He doesn't know God's plan. He doesn't know God's will. He doesn't know what God's getting ready to do. All he's doing is he's obeying and releasing what the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to him. When those spies came back all fired up, listen, we can say with faith, the attacks of the enemy will not prevail, because the promises says that there's no weapon formed against us that shall prosper. When you feel the attacks of the enemy, when you feel like, Lord, you know what? I've been faithful to do this, and I've been faithful. Not that there's some kind of magic potion or form, but you're like, Lord, I've been listening to your voice. I've been obeying your voice, and I feel like we're still in this battle. That's when you say, you know what? Then it's a spiritual battle. And in Jesus' name, there's no weapon formed against me that will prosper. And when you speak those words, you're telling the devil, you're telling the enemy, I am a chosen vessel. I'm covered in the blood of the Lamb. I've been marked. I've been stamped. I've been set aside. I've been purchased. And you're not going to have any rule or any reign over this man whatsoever. That's what you're saying. And maybe we need, as a congregation, to get that excited about when we say it. You're in your cubicle. I am a man of God. And everybody's like, whoa. Call HR in. But it's one of those, that's what you're releasing. Because the devil's trying to place a Goliath in front of you. And you're saying, I refuse to be intimidated by the devil anymore. Look, we need some people that can walk bold. I mean, look at lions and say, pfft, whatever. Look at bears and pfft, whatever. Look at a mountain and say, because when we start looking that way, you know what we're seeing? We're seeing things through God's eyes. You know what? Now all of a sudden what we have is we have this bird's eye view. About a 10,000 foot view of what's really taking place. We have a view through God's eyes. We have a, it's like when the boys walked up to the gate beautiful and they said, silver and gold have I not, but what I do have I give to you. Rise up and walk in Jesus' name. rise up. You know, the church can't say that anymore. They can't say that anymore. They can say silver and gold have we got, but what we don't have is we don't have the power and the authority to be able to say, I give to you what I have, now rise up and walk. And we're living in a time and we're living in a society where the church needs to be able to walk up and say, I don't have anything, but what I do have, I have the Son of God inside of me, and what I have, I give to you. Now rise up and walk in Jesus' name. You need freedom. My God, my Savior paid a price so that we could walk in freedom. But we can't give what we don't have. I'm not getting shouted down on that one. Is my hearing aid turned? Oh, I don't wear them. Yeah, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, touch these ears. We got to have something to give. We got to have something. Jesus is telling us in Matthew, there's power in your spoken words when they're spoken in faith. That's having something to give right there, friend. Amen? That is having something to give. Let me move on so I can close. Word confess, according to Webster's, to tell or to mark down, to admit. Confess. To tell, to mark down, to admit. To tell, to mark down, to admit. Get you a notepad and write it down. What the Lord speaks to you, write it down. Write it down. Confess it. If He gives you something, write it down. If He gives you a passage, write that passage down. Quote that passage. Let that passage resonate in your ear. Let that passage resonate in your home. Let that passage be released. Articulate that passage. Speak that passage. Speak that promise. Declare that promise. Declare what it is that the Lord gives to you, but make it verbal. Make it verbal. Make it verbal so that not only your ears, but other ears can hear it as well. Because how many knows when they walk by somebody or they walk by a group of people and that group of people are talking about you and it might not be real edifying what they're saying, it affects your heart. Or you walk by a group of people and they're talking about you and they're like, man, that guy or that woman is the nicest person we ever did meet. They got a smile on their face all the time. They're so sweet you could dip a biscuit in them and eat them up because they're just oozing with awesomeness, you know? And it's like, how does that make you feel when you hear that kind of stuff? It makes you feel good. It makes you feel like, wow. And here's the thing. When you release these spoken words of faith, you tend to change the atmosphere of the environment in which you're in. When you release these spoken words of faith, you tend to change the circumstances that you're in. And you may not necessarily change the specific circumstances, but you'll change the condition of your heart and you'll change the view that you have over what's going on. And you'll step back and you'll say, you know what? It's like getting your praise song. Remember we talked about getting a praise song? Get your praise song and start singing your praise. If you can't say anything else, sing your praise song. If you can't say something good about somebody, the old saying is, then just don't say anything at all. But it's that confession. It's that positive confession, that positive release. Verse 10, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. I'm closing. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Look, with our mouth, we confess the new birth and getting saved. With our mouth, we confess health and healing. With our mouth, we confess deliverance. With our mouth, we confess safety. Let me just turn to Genesis for a minute and let me just read something to you. Chapter 1. And it says, then God said, let there be light. Then God said, let there be firmament. Then God called the firmament heaven. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb. Then God said, let there be light, and let there be firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night. Then God said, let the waters bound with the abundance of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth and across the face of the firmament of the heavens. And then God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply. Then God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the earth, or over the fish, and over the seas and the birds. Then God blessed them. You don't hear anything where God said, well, he made this, then he cursed it. No, he said, let this take place. Then he blessed it. Let this take place. Then he blessed it. Let this take place. Then he blessed it. The Bible says confession is made unto salvation. That's that life and death. That's that freedom that comes when you say, Father God, I have sinned. Forgive me. That's that freedom that comes when somebody who has never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior speaks those words in faith. It says, Father, or God, or Jesus, if you're really there, I need to know. Those are those words of power and those words of faith that change a person's life. Because when Jesus hears those words, those are his words. Those are his will. And that's when he says, I am here. Let me show myself to you. What an awesome place to be in. What an awesome place to be in. Father, I've made a mess of things. Sometimes I hear, yes, I know you have, son. Father, I've made a mess of things. I've made a mess of things. Help me out, Lord. And the Lord's like, son, let me help you then. Let me show you. Let me lead you. Let me guide you. Lord, what are we supposed to do right now? What you're supposed to do right now, son, is you're just supposed to put everything on hold. Get alone with me. Spend some time with me. Spend some time fasting and praying and hearing my voice. Let me speak to you. Let me give you some vision. Let me give you some guidance. Let me show you an overview of where your life is going and what's going to take place. But it requires us, church, getting in that place of quietness before the Lord. With every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here this morning and you're bearing witness with what I'm saying, and you're saying, you know, I need to start making some confessions. Kind of held some of the things in that maybe the Lord has laid in your heart. You've kind of held them back or you haven't done them. This morning, this word is to release some spiritual strength into Bethel. So that as believers, we know how to walk and speak the promises of God. To release what God is wanting to do. Not only in our church, but in our own lives, in our homes, in our families, in our marriages. Men, if you feel like you're in a position where, you know, things could be better in your home, do something that's kind of not manly and submit to God. Surrender to Him. Ask Him to speak to your heart. Ask Him to give you some guidance and some wisdom. Ask Him for the love for your wife that you were supposed to have. Ask Him for that. Say, Father, help me to love my wife the way you intended me to love my wife. And then the next time before you go to speak, just wait and say, Lord, is this showing that kind of love that I'm supposed to be showing? And then release a word of faith. Release a word of blessing over that situation. Be quick to listen and slow to speak. You may be here this morning and you may have been in church all your life. But Holy Spirit is prompting your heart right now. And He's saying, it's with your mouth, it's with the confession of your mouth that will lead you to salvation. By confessing where you stand right now with Him. Father, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sins. Please set me free from what I've allowed the world to bond or to heap up on me or to ensnare me with. Lord, help me as I want to serve you. Help me, even though I'm not really sure about who you may be, I'm asking you this morning to reveal yourself to me. Speak to me. Let those be your words that come out of your heart and out of your mouth to him this morning.